Welcome back to The Junction, a podcast by Venn Technology about AI and automation, without the jargon. Hosted by me, Mel Bell, and my co-host, Chase Friedman. We're thought leaders, industry experts, and visionaries here to unpack the latest trends in AI and how we're using it. Listen for practical advice and a little bit of banter on how to improve your business and career by being at the junction of it all. We're so excited you're here. Let's jump in. Welcome back to another episode of The Junction. Y'all, we actually did what we said we were going to do, and we did some homework. We committed. If you did not listen to the last episode, please go back before you hit play on this one. Take it back to the last episode, episode 23.
Yeah, or like season two, episode three.
Something like that.
You know.
Take it back to the last episode and listen all the way to the end to where I say we are committed to doing our homework, and we're going to come back next episode with real life practical tips about how to protect yourself from AI security threats. And we did it. At least we scratched this. We're going to scratch the surface today a little bit.
Well, by the time this publishes, I'm sure there'll be like 20 more things, right? They have to worry about, but also like 20 more ways you can secure your business, your life, you know, all those things.
I find 20 new things to worry about in a given hour. So like that is, you know, just keep it going. Let's go.
Yeah. You just pop open your Twitter feed and, you know, there's something new to worry about or something new to get excited about.
Well, that's your first problem. Are you still on Twitter?
Yeah. Actually, no. I'm on X.
Hard pass. Not there anymore. I tried it. It stresses me out.
I just look for recommendations from Clippy these days.
I'm telling you, we're going to make Clippy a thing. Microsoft is going to rebrand Copilot to Clippy AI.
Yeah. I wonder if they still have the trademark. You know, maybe we could take it over. It's like Venn Technology, Clippy.
You want to take on Microsoft?
Yeah, not really. I want to partner. We're going to partner with Microsoft.
Yeah,
to
we're
do
collaborating.
Great things. We're going to be co-pilots together. No, that failed. But actually, I was thinking about, so you had some banter with somebody on LinkedIn, one of your buddies, and I was thinking about Clippy, and I was trying to remember like what it actually did, and I don't remember it actually doing.
He brought joy.
He bounced on your screen.
He brought joy to the wonderful world of the Microsoft Office suite. Mm.
Back in the day when things were way more chill.
He just wanted to know, do you want a tour?
You want a tour?
You know where the save button is?
You want to start a new document?
Need a word count? I don't even know. We'd probably have to pull up we could probably ask ChatGPT.
Yeah, or we could just YouTube it or get on X.
See, I've been challenged. If anyone's been listening along the last couple seasons, you know I've had this like internal struggle. I feel conflicted that I use AI at work and I don't knee-jerk use it at home or like in my personal life. Mm. And I've really been challenging myself to solicit the responses that I would normally Google on my app.
Yeah.
I'm not using it nearly to the extent like at work, I'm uploading all these transcripts and things like that. But what I would normally Google, like the other day I made burgers.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know like the ideal, like what is your pro tip for the best? And it like put me in my place a little bit. It was like, well, don't pack them too much because that'll result in a tough burger.
Interesting.
You know? So I was like, Chase would be so proud of me right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm always kind of like, I'm just going to Google it. I'm going to go on Pinterest.
You know, what's interesting. I think I've even like pressed harder into this. And it's not because I don't want to go on Google and search and find like the best thing. It's, hey, I need like a 30, like 10 seconds. Tell me the answer right now. Like, and I have a pretty educated guess at whatever I'm asking. And if it's not good enough, then I go to Google. Because half the time I go to Google and I'm like, how do I do this? Reddit. And I'm looking for Reddit threads. So thinking like through the run of show today, right? We committed to talk about security related things. Now you are doing more, maybe more personally, right? Like doing all this research, are you more worried, less worried, like that somebody's going to steal your voice or they're going to hack into your stuff? Or do you feel like, hey, there's actually a decent amount of, you know, security minded tools, ventures, startups, right? That like kind of level out the world?
Or let's put it this way. When I started doing research on the tools that exist to protect us, the ones that exist that hackers are using outweighs it. That scares me. Mm. We also have, let's use this podcast, for example, not that we haven't like filtered our voice and our images through some of these tools, or at least that have been designed to essentially spit out a file that can't be compromised. Mm-hmm. So let's just call the last 23 episodes, you know,
material.
That's a vulnerability in the system. I am encouraged to see that there are starting to be more tools and awareness, that there are feeds of people, unfortunately, and not so great. We're learning from the people who have been fallen victim to these things. But the other common theme I noticed was lots of universities are picking this up as like thesis studies, projects. They're kind of like these collaborative efforts from one group of students that gets passed to another group of students. So I think where we should start is let's talk about some of the most common areas where we're seeing threats and where people are becoming victim to this stuff. So, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is voice, image, and that could be of you, it could be of someone you know, or it could be of art or some like a graphic that you've created. An infringement upon those things.
Sure.
Did I miss? Like, that to me is so top of mind. What else comes to mind for you?
Those are probably the best ones with the most vulnerabilities at this point, because historically, it's been very difficult to replicate somebody's likeness, whether it's voice or image or tone, right? Or maybe even to an extent, the way they write. Maybe if you go back very far. But I think you've got those covered for sure.
Yeah. Like one real life example, if you do a quick Google search, you'll find a Reddit thread of someone that said, my voice was stolen. It was cloned in AI. It's now being used in someone else's channel for their videos. And there are tons of messages in this thread, right? And among some of the advice is, you know, lawyer up, cease and desist, right?
Get the lawyer.
If it's a YouTube channel, one of the users is recommending that they make the claim through YouTube, which is probably what you need to do across. Let's apply that across platforms. So I guess if you see something on Instagram or Facebook that is using your, you know, your image, your likeness without your consent, that's probably the best route. Now that starts to become very cumbersome. Think about that as the generator of the content. You're basically on a hunt and peck mission to go find all of these, where the files live. And now you're just like individually reporting this out and you're dealing with, I mean, you might as well also invest in a ticketing system while you're at it, because you're going to order somebody to help manage your inbox. But you know, I mean, that's scary, right? Like how does someone, especially if they're making a living, like I think I've mentioned, I've got a really good friend that's a voice actor. He makes a living. He's been in large commercials, but he also does radio and voiceover and things like that. I mean, that's putting, you know, food on the table.
Yeah. The other article that we pulled up was this ABC News article, Rise of Scammers on AI to Mimic Voices. I think, honestly, some of this stuff isn't relatively new. What is relatively new is how quickly you can do it, right? I can replicate my voice, I can replicate your voice, and I can do all of that in less than 2 hours, right? So I think what we will find is that the volume of these things expands very quickly. The publicly, I don't know the best way to say this, right? But like if somebody mimics your voice and then creates a YouTube video, I feel like that's a public, like I'm trying to profit off of Justin Timberlake's voice, right?
That's who you'd pick.
It's the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know. Whatever. But if I'm trying
for
to
the
target,
record, I love Justin Timberlake.
Oh yeah, I mean he's got good music. He's cool. But if I'm trying to like attack an individual to make use of their voice, I'm probably trying to take money from them, like, unless you're doing something very different, right? I think a majority of these are money related, right? They're trying to get money. And so we're going to face this thing where, well, most people don't fall victim to that, right? But you've got quite a few older folks that that might be in trouble. But I actually just thought about this. Like, if you're trying to mimic a voice, you have to have a recording of them. So unless you're like YouTube stars like us, you laughed. You're supposed to be like, oh, yeah. Mm. Unless you have like hours of audio, right? You're probably not really that vulnerable.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's probably speaking more into people who are creating content. Lots of the generations that have grown up with devices in their hands and they've been filming themselves for years and they're conditioned to put out content in the form of video. I mean, I think that's really where in that ABC article that you cited, the 15-year-old daughter, I think this is the mom speaking, mm-hmm. saying, hey, she called me. It sounded very realistic. It sounded like she was kidnapped. They cited that, you know, she had a public Instagram, you know, that they could go find.
And right.
A lot of the younger folks that I follow that are friends, family friends, their profiles are completely accessible. I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things where maybe we need it. It certainly there's pros and cons, but like that's how it takes a very small clip. I mean, it could take a 10, 15 second clip and now it knows how to basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that you say that we're not a vulnerable so people who aren't creating content, but they could just be casually thinking that like those are where people hang out.
Yeah.
Right. On TikTok and Instagram and that, especially through the pandemic. Can you imagine, do you know how much content was generated in those couple of years where people were at home?
Yeah.
And we weren't thinking about when I put this out publicly, I'm trying to connect with someone across the world, around the world. Now, here we are in 2024, that can be used by a hacker.
Well, I you're kind of saying this, but maybe just a slightly different take. I think my mom is awesome. She's amazing.
Does she listen to the show?
I think she's listened to a couple. Mom, I love you. I feel like you're supposed to do that when you talk about your mom.
Yeah.
I do.
And your wife.
My wife is beautiful and wonderful and all the things. and I think they wouldn't fall victim to this, but what I actually just thought of is that, well, we have hours and hours of our voices on the internet, right? But the attack vector isn't them using our voice on ourselves, right? It's using our voice on our relatives, right? So I can envision somebody calling my mom, using my voice, saying, hey, mom, can you actually just send me $100 gift card to this Venmo address? I don't know, whatever. Like, can you send $100 to this Venmo address?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pay, da da da. I'll pay you back when I get home. Like, that would be super effective. The problem is, I never asked my mom to send anybody Venmo money. In fact, she may not know what Venmo is.
True. Yeah. I don't know the details behind, like, was this a unknown phone number that the mom got? And before checking on her daughter, calling her daughter's right. phone number.
Like, hey, mom, my mom broke, or my phone broke.
Right.
I'm calling from a weird number.
Did you ever have a code word when you were growing up? Like, we used to walk to and from school, and my mom always said, hey, if someone tries to pick you up, that's not myself or your dad, then here's the code word.
Oh,
I don't know if I would have ever, I was never in the situation, thankfully, yeah. But like,
wait, what was the code word?
It was Orange Julius.
Orange.
Do you remember that place? They made like smoothies.
No,
no,
maybe,
might be a Pacific really. Northwest thing.
I was a smoothie king guy.
Okay. So. I'm getting a bunch of no's. Okay. Well, that was our word. It was very unique, right? So, but think about it. Maybe we need to start setting up code words again with our families.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not dissimilar from when any of our executives travel out of town. Typically, we'll make an announcement in Slack and during our all hands, you know, we'll say, hey, if you get a text message from Chase or Scott that says, go buy 10 gift cards
yeah.
and send them to this address, you know, don't.
It's totally sketch.
Because we don't need any. Yeah. So it might be as simple as just starting by, you know, setting up a code word or something.
Well, you can't use Orange Julius anymore because now it's on
it's
the
out.
Internet. It's
out. Yeah.
Is that like your Bank of America code? Because I'm...
No.
I mean, I would never...
Thankfully, it's... No, it's none of the
I would never, that. But somebody else might.
No, I mean, so that's not even like a technology tool. That's probably just something that we could like talk about of, I don't know, figure out those verbal cues.
Right.
Make sure you check the phone number. Like, are they calling from, you know, are they... See, I have heard a story, like literally the daughter was upstairs or something, like go check their room, make sure they're cool. But you're right, for more like long distance setups, or if they're like, your mom is like, what is Venmo? Like if you don't recognize the tool, or if it's a very obscure request, start by calling their cell phone, checking their location. And then of course, elevating it to law enforcement if you do think there is a real threat.
Oh, for sure. We committed to like calling out specific technologies that you can use.
Yep.
So if you are trying to do something, right, to prevent audio from being copied, right, there are some projects out there. Washington University has something called the Anti-Fake Project that and I really like this diagram that they have on the website.
Maybe. I knew you were going to like that diagram.
I love diagrams.
It screams Chase.
But it tells you exactly what it does, right? And it's like, oh yeah, I get it now.
We'll link it out in the show notes.
Totally. Well, basically it like takes your voice, bifurcates it into multiple things, right? And then puts it back together. Connected to a GitHub project that you can use. Imagine if you were our target audience, right, as a business owner or, you know, just more so in the business rather than the tech side of things, this might be difficult. What I imagine will actually end up happening is technology like this will be licensed or created by the YouTubes of the world. And when you upload your audio or your content, like it will automatically apply this. Probably a couple of years away, if I had to take a guess, right? But I imagine that this type of technology will be needed, and I don't know if it'll be regulated to the like to the extent where it's required, but it'll just be good to have. Just like how HTTPS has become pretty like everybody's got it, and if you don't, then something's wrong.
If I don't see that S in the URL, I'm out.
She's out.
Yeah, I think that I thought you would get kind of a kick out of the diagrams they put in here, but it also is just a interesting, you know, hey, you upload the file, we will go ahead and apply some processing that won't be something that you can hear. But yeah. Once the hacker tries to basically rip your audio and use it for some kind of scamming device, it won't sound like you at all.
Yeah.
So that's neat. Some of the drawbacks of the tool, at least in its current state. So there's great research here, but it can't support really long or winded files, and it can't protect, you know, I think it's not there yet. That was at least as far as I got in the article.
You mean like 45 minute long episodes of content that show up on YouTube?
Probably not.
Mm.
Yeah. So to your point, I think it's a really great call out. That's a prediction. I think here that, you know, these tools are like YouTube are looking to probably apply some level of this to help combat all of this crazy AI scam stuff that's going on, or even just a copyright infringement, right? So if it's not being used from maybe it's not nefarious, but someone likes what you got mm-hmm. have to say, and they're putting together some compilation, and you know there was already some level of that before AI.
Yeah. What about you had something about the University of Chicago? I'm actually headed there next week to hang out with some of our partners.
The image one. Yeah. So
was it Glaze?
Glaze. Yeah. Yeah. Very similar. So in the article I found it was positioned as an existing tool, but when I actually Googled it, it came up as a Chicago.edu study. And I think it's, you know, it's basically replace the voice and use case and apply imagery, artwork. This one really focuses on artwork and how it will essentially apply, similar to the voice tool, it will apply these features or attributes to the image, the original image, that are not visible to the naked eye.
Yeah.
And then when a tool tries or someone tries to copyright infringe or suck it into an AI tool, it'll essentially kick it out, or I don't actually know if it bars you from using it or if it alters the image in the way that the voiceover tool does.
You know what? I was just thinking that this actually, these technologies won't, for better or worse, right, wrong, and indifferent, won't be employed to protect the individual. It's actually going to be employed to protect the content. There was an article I saw this week. I think it may or may not be true. Who knows? But that a lot of the ChatGPT for training material was manually transcribed content off of YouTube. And if you go back even further, right, Reddit, like, basically killed their API, and now you have to pay for it if you want to scrape content legally. Anyway, so I think I can see these technologies, like, I think of Spotify, right? Like, a lot of these technologies will just be employed to prevent people not from scamming you, but from, like, stealing the data, because the data in mass is very, very valuable, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I guess I'd take that over, you know, them not doing it at all, but they're ultimately protecting their assets, right? Beyond worrying about Mel's voice being transcribed or, you know, replicated to then, like, try to steal money from her bank account.
Sure. So we've talked a lot about a couple of the use cases, and I think these will hit with or resonate with people on a personal level. You also mentioned the business owner. So what are we doing to create some protections around Venn? I know we've worked with an attorney on some light, you know, what should we know about our use of OpenAI? Do those policies kind of cover things like our technology and our IP? Have we gotten to that? Or
You can have an infinite number of legal resources and paper, right? But that generally that hacker isn't going to care a whole lot. That said, having privacy policies, DPAs, right, data processing agreements that communicate the types of technology that you're using are good in general, right? A lot of people have these things if they're in the technology world. But it's also just good business practice, right, to document what you're doing so people are aware. Obviously, we're not within our agreements that we're putting up on our website, right, and having people sign. We're not necessarily giving away the secret sauce, but, you know, legal documents are good. It communicates what we're doing, how we're doing it, and maybe to an extent some whys, but those are probably the ones that I would focus on the most are the terms of service, the master subscription agreement, right, the data processing agreements. There are some laws that are coming out in Europe that bar you from using AI to some extent, which might be problematic if you're building your business around AI. You might now be excluding maybe an entire region, right, from being customers. Anyway, everything's so new that I'm certain that a lot of folks are going to run into trouble in some form or fashion.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of business owners talking about how they would like to use it or coexist or apply it to, especially if they're services-based business. So we've talked a lot about marketing agencies and what they need to be talking about or how they need to be thinking about AI. And we've talked about how applying AI might increase the speed at which you're able to deliver something and, you know, therefore your billable rate. You've basically gotten a lot more efficient in the work you're able to deliver.
Yeah.
But also maybe be thinking about if you are looking and evaluating services like this, maybe cycle that question in to your evaluation of the service provider. Are you using any AI to, you know, do your services? And that doesn't necessarily qualify them out. I don't think that's necessarily a bad question. I've asked that before. I've heard that asked of other software vendors. I think it kind of helps you understand how they're using your information. It kind of keeps them honest too.
Yeah. Well, another place where you can protect yourself is when you're writing code, have some of these products that are coming to the market in the loop. So there's one that one of my buddies is a part of. It's called Sync, SNYK.io. But the general idea, right, is in product development or when you're coding something, if you use today's best practices, you've got some sort of code repository where I can work on it and you can work on it and everybody else can work on it, right? And we can all make changes to the code. It's like Word documents, right? When we do version control, it's a lot like that. But this review process in GitHub, in Azure, DevOps, right? They all have some sort of like main version, and Mel has proposed to insert this piece of code. Well, that then can be discussed amongst everybody. Like, hey, maybe you should, did you consider this? What some folks are doing and what Sync is doing is they're inserting themselves into that process, reviewing the code that you want to add in, and then analyzing that against all of the known vulnerabilities, the issues that you might run into, right? They're basically assessing that one piece of code and then commenting and saying, hey, if you deploy this, you're going to run into these problems. Or, hey, there's a known vulnerability with this package. Don't do that. I think these tools are going to be wildly successful because there's just so much out there that you can't keep track of, right? Like every day there's a new jailbreak, something happens. I've got an email from AT&T. Did we talk about this last episode? I got that email from AT&T.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my $2 check. But these, I do believe these will become maybe not like to protect the individual, but something that you'll want to use to protect your development process. Now, if you don't have anything where you're coding, right, you could use it to do the same thing with your legal documents. You're probably not going to find a large language model that commits to like being a lawyer, but at the very least, you know, having another set of proverbial eyes on it isn't going to hurt. So Sync, check it out. That's one way that you can do that. They also just came out with something where they're using AI, right, to analyze the code above and beyond just, well, these are known security vulnerabilities, right? The AI is actually digesting the code, running the code, and then saying, hey, this doesn't work. Don't deploy this because it doesn't work. I don't know what you did, right? But for us, we can't get it to run correctly. Got partnerships with Google, with Gemini. Anyway, long story short, like these are interesting times because a lot of these platforms are adding these in. And then what I'm actually more curious about is when in these scenarios, you are the one coding, right? But what happens when the story flips and now Sync is the one coding and suggesting changes, right? And now you're the one reviewing. Like, I think that's the path. Like, everybody's worried about AI is going to take over, right?
Yeah.
I think it's actually going to be, well, this Copilot, Clippy, you call it, right? They're going to review what you did. And then at some point, you're going to start reviewing what they did. And there's not going to be like this giant, well, everybody's out of a job.
I agree wholeheartedly. We're shifting from managing our own work and people to us managing the AI and additional, like there's always going to need to be that oversight, especially because in the last episode too, we talked about really good AI making for lazy humans. That was one hot take.
Yeah.
And I do tend to agree that, you know, we can risk becoming complacent if we're not careful to continue to spot those vulnerabilities, if you will. Let's try to summarize this in a bow.
Yeah.
So we know there are risks. We know that everyone is vulnerable, especially the more you are active on social media or the more content, maybe if you're a content generator or if you are actively, like, so if you own a business and you've got videos out there on YouTube, you're already like, it's out there. It's gone.
Yeah.
You can't run it through a tool. But to be aware of what that means and that these tools are out there, and to start understanding maybe how you can better use or wrap protection around them. I don't know when these tools are going to be available for us. Like if all of a sudden we start running stuff through, I love your idea around the YouTube, you know, already kind of like, it's probably on the roadmap. Did you look that up somewhere?
I know some guys.
Wouldn't be surprised. So, I mean, those things are happening. Something to be aware of. It's not going to slow my roll on creating content, but we know it's a risk, and there's, for every tool that is, can be used for good, you've got the bad actors, and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing that you can do right now, if you're a business owner, I'll just be very direct, is A, be ultra aware, but B, utilize multi-factor authentication. Like, all of these are single vector attacks. Replicating the voice, that's just one, right? If you implement multi-factor authentication, what that means is that there are two forms of verification. Well, Mel's voice and her passcode, Orange Julius, right? And those two combined make it much more, make it much less likely that somebody is going to take your money or whatever.
That is great practical advice.
Yeah.
So don't ignore the warning when it says set up two-factor authentication.
You got to do it.
You got to do it. Get the authentication app on your phone. Give them your phone number. Give them all the things they want, because ultimately it is for your own protection and, well, the protection of your business.
I mean, let's look at, we talked about AT&T last week, like biggest company, one of the biggest companies on earth. 70 million customer data, pieces of data are gone. Like if the big boys can't do it, then maybe the small people, right, aren't, I don't know. If everybody like AT&T, if all their data's out on the internet, it might already be too late, right? But it also goes to show that, well, they're AT&T. That doesn't mean they're not vulnerable, right? Same thing for Venn Technology, right? We're small. Doesn't mean we're not vulnerable. Everybody's vulnerable in some sense or fashion. But I wanted to get your hot take real okay. quick. So this, I think this was yesterday, Elon said something to the tune of, okay, actually I'm going to read it word for word. My guess is we'll have AI smarter than anyone human around the end of next year. Hot take, ready, go.
Define smarter.
I don't know if I can define smarter. Somebody might send me an email about, you know, you didn't think about this. What I think is likely to be true is that it will be smarter, but just because you're smart doesn't mean that you can do a whole lot with those smarts, right? Like, I'm sure ChatGPT can solve a crazy quantum deal. I mean, there's several headlines, right, where they are now testing vaccines or medical like combinations that now the FDA is about to approve that were generated by AI. Well, I don't know anything about that. So I would almost say that that already exists to some extent. It's a question of how will it be implemented. And I think we also said this in the last episode that Elon's bots, they implemented the OpenAI, and now you can like talk to the bot and the bot will do something and interpret the question on the fly. I don't think we'll have robots that are smart enough to do, you know, like super complex things that are smarter or better than humans in the next year, but maybe in like 5 years.
Yeah. Your point around implementation is really interesting. I don't know. If we're still here in 5 years. we'll dig this one out of the archives. Yeah.
What is Orange Julius?
And what does that have to do with AI?
Yeah. Something about Smoothie King. Who knows?
But yeah, we will drop the resources in the episode show notes. Would love to know your thoughts. What did we miss? We only merely scratched the surface on a few use cases, but hopefully encouraged you to think about some things and how you might respond if you are in a situation that feels like there could be an AI attack behind it.
Yeah. What's your new code word for next week?
I can't tell anyone.
Oh, man. What about like Claude? Claude is cool. No, Clippy. Something about Clippy. No?
I know. The whole point of code word is only like
you're not
your
supposed
inner
to tell
circle
anybody.
Knows.
Oh, yeah. You're... Wait a minute.
I can't believe you never had a code word.
Am I not? You're saying that I'm not in the inner circle, though.
You and the rest of the listeners of the podcast? Probably not.
We're going to unpack that on the next episode.
I'm not committing to that. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We would love to hear your take. Email us at thejunction@ventechnology.com. In the meantime, y'all know what to do. Keep it automated.